you have to be able to make the decisions to cut the expenses that are not absolutely necessary to upgrade for reaching your other goals, like having actual money.
If you're living paycheck to paycheck and you're struggling just to get the ball rolling, this is the thing that can actually help that ball start to roll.
Welcome to the Rad Money Podcast. We're Rebecca
and Dylan, husband and wife and financial coaches for married couples.
Do you and your spouse want to reach financial freedom and start building wealth, but you're not sure where to start?
Have you tried to budget and pay off debt, yet you struggle to see your net worth actually increase?
Rad Money is a finance podcast that helps millennial married couples get on the same page about one of the toughest topics they will face in their marriage.
Our goal is to help you and your spouse work together to reach your financial goals and strengthen your marriage along the way. Welcome to today's episode of the Rad Money Podcast. Today we are talking about one of our favorite topics when it comes to personal finance, your cash flow, and specifically six strategies to increase your cash flow. When it comes to your personal finances, cash flow is king. It's your ability to pay off more debt. It's your ability to put more into savings or investing. But increasing your cash flow is the challenge. So today we're diving into that specific topic.
Yes, cash flow is absolutely king. It is my favorite thing to talk about because it is what matters the most. You can increase your income all day. You can try to save your money all day. But what really matters is how much cash flow are those activities generating for you? How much cash flow are you able to actually extract from all of those different things that you're trying to do to put that money towards your most important goal? So this is something that I worked with my clients, Bria and John, with. They were such fantastic clients. They really did the work, and they worked both sides of the equation like we're going to talk about today. When you're trying to increase your cash flow, there are one of two ways that you can do it. You can either increase your income or you can save your money, cut your expenses, things like that. They worked both sides of this equation by paying off their debts aggressively, negotiating medical debt, all those sorts of things, while also building a strategy to increase their income. They both ended up advancing in their careers that increased their income. And then eventually were able to buy their first house, which also had a cash flowing apartment on it. And that helped them even more. So by working both sides of the equation, which is really the ideal thing to do, they were able to increase their cash flow so much that it just moved them that much faster towards their top goal, which was home ownership. And then they took it even further by saying, okay, but how do we do home ownership plus having a cash flowing piece to that? So it's really amazing, like, how when you look at things through the lens of cash flow and how much of it you really have to work with month to month and look at the strategies of ways to increase that cash flow, that is going to be what really speeds you up in reaching your goals.
Like, one of the things that we found when we started our financial journey was as we increased our cash flow, it made us more financially resilient. And so an emergency would come up and all we had to do was adjust our plan, but we could afford to take care of the emergency through our regular cash flow without having to dip into savings or really make any major changes to our plan. And so by having more cash flow available to you throughout the month, it gives you that flexibility. It allows you to pay off more debt, it allows you to save more money, but it also prevents you from having to dip into an emergency fund because you're able to just absorb financial problems as they come along.
Yeah. So when those things would happen, and sometimes, or even they'd be positive, we'd just say, hey, we'd like to go on a weekend getaway. All right, great. Well, let's just cash flow it, which just meant let's pay for it with the income that we have this month. Maybe that meant a reprioritization. Maybe we didn't make as much payment towards debt or move as much towards savings or whatever. But we were able to just cash flow that as opposed to dipping into any sort of savings or have to save up for it or put it on debt or whatever.
Right.
So it wasn't always even a bad thing too. It's just like, where do we want to put our financial energy? I like to think of it as kind of like a river or water. Where is your cash flow going and how can you manipulate that to get the most out of it?
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it. It's just like the flow of your money in and out of the different expenses that you have and how much do you have at a particular time.
Exactly. And that brings us to the six strategies for increasing your cash flow.
And there's two ways that you can break these strategies up. You can either decrease your expenses or increase your income. We like to start with decreasing our expenses because if you can decrease your expenses and learn to manage your expenses properly, then every increase in income becomes more powerful in your cash flow. If you increase your income, but you have lifestyle creep, then you really have no increase in cash flow. So that's why we're going to start with decreasing expenses here.
And a lot of people love to focus on increase my income. I mean, we've been talking to tons and tons of followers, and it's one of the first things that they always say is, I need to increase my income. I need to increase my income. The thing about that is, it's way harder to increase your income than it is to decrease your expenses.
Yes.
You can control far more of what's going on with your expenses than you can control with your income. Yes, it's you can go and negotiate for a raise. You can ask for a raise, ask for a promotion. You can start a side hustle, all these different things. But that is still going to be harder, and you are not fully in control of that as opposed to your expenses. You
right.
call all of those shots. And in addition to that, you can see a more immediate impact on your situation by focusing on decreasing your expenses. It takes more time to increase your income or to get that promotion or for it to go through or to get that new job or start the side hustle and actually have it producing some sort of revenue for you. Those things take a lot more time versus some of the strategies that we're going to talk about for decreasing your expenses.
Plus, when you get good at managing your expenses, as you increase your income, you actually are increasing your cash flow because your expenses stay consistent. They aren't going to change because you've got an increase in income.
Any increase in income that you do see will immediately impact your cash flow. So you'll get more cash flow so that you can then reach your goals faster, so that
yes.
you can do more work, put that money to work to actually improve your situation. So there is a lot of focus. I know, you know, people are tired of hearing, you know, it's important to focus on your savings, but it is the place where you start and where you have the most control. And it is important to avoid, like what you're saying, which is if you just increase your income, but you don't focus on that other part of the equation, it's very likely that you will fall into lifestyle creep,
right.
which is just inflating your lifestyle as your income continues to grow. Then eventually you've got golden handcuffs. And what that means is that you are so entrenched financially in your circumstances. Your life is so expensive because you are stuck in a job that maybe you don't like anymore. Maybe you've outgrown. Maybe you've just gotten tired of it. You're burnt out, whatever. But you don't have any options that are really easy for you to take because you need that high income so, so badly. So that's what we call golden handcuffs. And as you can imagine, that's not any fun. So we're all about freedom here and being able to live the life that you really want to. And so it's important to just work both sides of this equation.
So the first strategy to decrease your expenses and increase your cash flow is to eliminate your debts.
And not a lot of people focus enough on this being the reason to pay off your debt.
Right. It's always a focus on interest or paying the man or whatever it is. But every payment that goes somewhere else is money that isn't in your own pocket.
Exactly. Exactly. So paying off these debts, getting the student loan monkey off your back, all those sorts of things, by doing that sooner than later, you get that cash flow coming back to you to then put that monthly payment towards something that you'd rather use that money for, right?
Right.
So even if you're just using it to go travel, fantastic. That's way better than continuing to pay your student loans for the next 25 years. You know, it's really so important to focus on this component of paying off your debt.
Right. It really does free up so much cash flow. And it personally feels amazing when you get out of debt.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's just something psychologically amazing about eliminating that debt. It makes you feel so good about your finances. But every payment comes back to you. $250 from a car, $500 from student loans, $400 from a credit card bill. Oh, wow. Like that's over $1,000 right there.
Yeah.
That you could have back in your pocket if you have those standard debt payments that people have.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we're saying, you know, you could use that money for whatever when you get that cash flow coming back to you. But most importantly, that people don't think about enough when it comes to why should I pay off my debt? Shouldn't I invest first, right? But the math doesn't really work out very well in your favor when you're paying $400, $500 a month toward your student loans, but you're only able to invest $100, $200, okay? So that's an issue of cash flow,
right?
And so if you can instead aggressively pay off those loans and get that payment completely cleared out, okay, now I'm able to really put some money towards my investments.
Right.
So that's how you really should be looking at this. It shouldn't just be interest rates versus interest rates, good debt, bad debt, all this sort of, you know, nonsense. That doesn't matter. Your cash flow is what matters.
Yes. So the second strategy to decreasing your expenses is to cut unnecessary spending. When we work with clients, we find that a lot of times their budgets are full of things that they actually don't need or want for that matter. And they've just been spending money because that's the way it goes. And so by actually getting intentional about how you spend your money and cutting your spending in these unnecessary categories, you immediately increase your cash flow. I've had this happen a lot of times with clients where, say, they can create $1,000 worth of cash flow just by getting intentional about how they spend their money. And they say, oh, if I really was intentional and this was what I really wanted to do, I would change this all up. And you know what? That means I have more money in the bank every month.
But the hard thing about this is that it requires you to be really honest with yourself and to actually be willing to make sacrifices. If you're trying to save everything and just say, oh, well, I've gotten accustomed to this lifestyle and, you know, whatnot, well, there's trade-offs. There's absolutely trade-offs to this. So you have to be able to make the decisions to cut the expenses that are not absolutely necessary to upgrade for reaching your other goals, like having actual money. Because even if you feel as though you can technically afford to continue to exist the way you are existing with the income that you currently have, sure, you can pay for that. But if you're not able to invest the way that you need to, then that's your trade-off, right? Is you're choosing your current lifestyle over your future goals. So you have to be able to make these hard decisions to say, I don't want to do that anymore. So where am I going to cut back? What are the unnecessary things that I'm going to choose not to do moving forward so that I can actually fund my future?
And the third way that you can decrease your expenses is to look at the big three. So there's three categories where we all spend the most amount of money, and it comes down to our housing, our food, and our transportation. Those three categories chew up most of our cash flow. And so if you can look at each one of those categories and reduce them by 5-10% each, how much would that increase your cash flow? This is actually something that we did. We downgraded in our living situation. We moved from one house to a much smaller house and ended up saving $700 a month. But that $700 really sped up the process of us getting out of debt.
Now, that's a really big move. That's not easy to do. You have to be super committed to doing that. And we've made similar moves ever since then. You know, we've done all sorts of different alternative living situations where we've, you know, lived with family, we've worked remotely, we've done the house sitting thing. Like, we've done a lot of different things to keep our living expenses really low. Most people aren't maybe willing to or able to do that. They don't have like housing availability in their area or things of that nature. But one thing that we're all very much able to do is save money on how much we're spending eating out, especially us millennials. We're horrible at this. And so we started to really get serious about that as well. Cook at home more and do less convenience food and things of that nature. And which is great. I mean, we've always been big on cooking, but the point is most people spend way too much here.
Right.
And it's so expensive and is absolutely costing you your financial goals.
Yeah. And the last one was transportation. And so if you can reduce your transportation costs down by not driving as much, biking, or even just trading down your vehicle to something that's less expensive but still reliable, that can save you so much money.
Or even just upgrading your mindset to realize that cars are liabilities, not assets. And moving forward, even once you just like pay off the car that maybe you currently have, whatever, you just stop playing the upgrade game.
Right.
And you stop playing the, you know, let me just always have a car note. Maybe that's normal, but normal people are broke. So
right.
How about we don't do that? And then just look at your car as what it is, which is a utility vehicle. I mean, it's meant to get you from A to B. So stop using it as something that, you know, is a symbol of status. And, you know, again, it's all about trade-offs. What do you want more? Do you want people to think that you have money, or do you want to actually have money?
Totally. I mean, Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos were known for driving old vehicles when they first started off. Like, they didn't get the nice vehicles until they were very rich.
Yeah. Or like even us, we went down to a one car household, you know, and it's not the easiest thing all the time, but it's really not necessary to always have your own car. Or there are other things, like when I was in straight out of college, I rode the bus instead of driving my car just because I didn't want to pay for gas, you know? So you can just find different ways. But yeah, saving money on your transportation is a huge opportunity for most people, especially if you have a car note. So it need to be mindful of that.
Yeah. So we've decreased our expenses by eliminating debt, cutting unnecessary expenses, and revisiting the big three categories, which are our housing, our transportation, and food. So now let's look at the three other strategies on the other side of the equation to increase your cash flow. So the first strategy is to sell stuff. And now, although this is not a long-term solution, this can make a huge difference if you're just trying to get the ball rolling.
Yeah. And while this isn't necessarily repeatable, you know, once you sell something, it's gone. It's really something that can help you get a quick cash injection into your cash flow so that you can start to build some momentum. Everybody has stuff, at least America. We all have things that we don't use anymore that we could absolutely get rid of. And so this could be a garage sale. It could be selling stuff on eBay. It could be Facebook Marketplace, you know, whatever. But selling things that you do not need, it can be that first initial move in the right direction.
Yeah. If you're living paycheck to paycheck and you're struggling just to get the ball rolling, this is the thing that can actually help that ball start to roll.
Yes. So a lot of people sleep on this and they think that, oh, you know, well, because I can't do it again and again, then it's not worth doing. No, false, wrong. Like, you absolutely should be getting rid of some things. I mean, we've done this even just to clear up space and things, you know, but we love to sell stuff on eBay.
We've had a lot of success on eBay and Facebook Marketplace. Yes.
Yeah. And we've done the garage sale thing too, especially when we were like downsizing. So it's really helpful. And just look around your house and see what you have and sell it. Pay off that debt.
So the second strategy is to start a side hustle.
And people talk about this all the time, but you guys, this takes time. This is not something that you can just like immediately do, at least if you're starting your own side hustle. If you pick up a side hustle, like you just decide that you're going to go moonlight as a bartender, or you're going to be a waitress somewhere, or do something like that where you can just immediately plug in and start getting an extra 15 hours a week and can do this on a regular basis, that's super easy. But what everybody loves to talk about right now is not go out and just pick up a second job. It's how do I start my own side hustle? How am I creating this passive income? And that takes a really long time.
That's a lot of hard work and effort, and you won't get the immediate payoff that you might be looking for. Maybe you deliver pizzas for 6 months and that's what it takes to pay off all your debt. And then you don't need the side hustle afterwards.
Yeah.
So like, think about it. How long do you really need this side hustle for? Is it just to boost your income for a short period of time so that you can get to the lifestyle that you'd like? You know,
yeah.
It's a short-term sacrifice for a long-term gain.
It's also the way that you make it predictable, right? So you're doing things like creating your own side business and trying to make that be the way that you reach your
goals.
Great point. That is so variable. Like, even if your first week you make $1,000, can you do it again? Okay,
right.
That's really, really hard. Ask me how I know. It's not that as easy as everybody makes it sound like on the internet. So ignore those goobers. And if you actually want to say, I need to be out of debt ASAP Rocky, like I'm done with this, then going out and actually getting a second job is what you want to do.
Yeah. That's like you said, is the most reliable and predictable. And it's not going to be variable. It's not going to be challenging.
At least not incredibly variable.
No.
You know, you're going to make a base amount of money. When I was working on paying off my Jeep, I picked up a side job at like an Alex and Ani, which was like, they sell bracelets. I don't know. Anyways, but you know, I made an hourly rate. So I was like, okay, I'm going to work here 20 hours a week. And so I know that I'm at least going to make this much. And then anytime I made a commission, okay, that's sugar on top, but it's not what I'm banking on. And so I could at least use that base calculation of my hourly rate times how many hours I'm going to work to figure out, okay, how much is this going to help me move closer to my goal?
Yep.
And so that's how you should totally view it. So if you're looking at a side hustle, don't skip the just let me get a second moonlight job. That should really be where you start, because the other one is a long, long, long way ahead. And it's not as simple as they make it sound online.
Totally. Yes. And so the last strategy here is to negotiate a raise or start looking for a new job.
Yeah. And this just takes a lot of time. And it's not completely within your control. What's going on in the job market? How is the business that you're working at doing? You know, are you actually going to be successful in negotiating that raise? And really, how much are you going to be able to get? You know, negotiating your raise at your current place of work without a promotion, you're looking at 10% increase max. If you move to another place of employment, there's a serious disruption. It's going to take months to find that. But yeah, you can increase your income more substantially, but it is going to take longer. So again, you need to stack these strategies, all six of these strategies.
Right.
You need to be playing both sides of this equation so that you can get the biggest impact the fastest. If you're just trying to save your way to financial freedom, I'm sorry, honey, you're not going to get there. If you're just trying to play the side hustle game, but you're not checking your expenses and you're just spending like a goober.
Oh my gosh, you could be working for nothing.
Oh, you're just doomed, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so that's how you perpetually feel like a hamster on the wheel. Is you just focus on one side of the equation and you don't check the other. And that's how you feel like you absolutely don't get momentum. And so that's why we love to talk about both of these strategies with everybody. Because you have to. If you aren't talking to your financial coach about both of these things, you are missing half of the story.
Right. And to recap the three ways that we can increase our income, we can either sell stuff, Although this is a one-time action, it can really create momentum.
You know, eventually you'll run out of things to sell, but it can be the cash infusion that you need to just start making some progress, and then you can build on that.
Two, you can pick up a side hustle.
So something that you can really just start making money sooner than later and isn't going to be 12 months until you start to see any sort of cash coming back to you. Most side hustles cost money before they start making money.
And then three, you can negotiate a raise or search for a new job.
So those are the three ways that you can increase your income to increase your cash flow. But again, if you don't start with that other side, if you don't do that other side of the equation as well, you really risk making more money just to spend it, not to actually use it in a way that is purposeful and moves you ahead so that you can have more security and freedom in your life. So if you want a strategy to increase your cash flow that works on both sides of the equation, it's not just about how much money can you save, but how can you start also earning more money and bringing it all together so that you can have a bigger impact on your overall financial situation, then schedule a strategy session. The link is in the show notes. We get to look at your finances and start to identify some ways that you can start increasing your cash flow ASAP and start to make moves towards your goals. Like I said, the link is in the show notes. It's absolutely free, no strings attached. We just want to help you get that first win. So don't miss out on that opportunity. But that's everything for this week's episode. And until next time, I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Dylan.
And we're Rad Coaches.